All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of, yes, that's right, Fresh Juice. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Maddie Juice, Juice, Juice. What's going on, everybody? I am in a new room. This is the old room, but it's just painted. It's got a new floor, and we got a little bit of an echo situation. So hopefully Tommy's going to fix it in post. You're not even going to know what I'm talking about. All right?
But golly, just in case,
just imagine a little bit of an echo to get the real authentic experience here. But it's good to see you, Tommy. Another week of indie games. What do we got on the plate today for the people?
We have Ruffy in the Riverside. Listen, it is a little echoey, and I hope to God I can fix it, because it sounds like you are in a dungeon. That's all right. We're not playing a dungeon crawler today, but we played Ruffy in the Riverside, a kind of 3D platformer puzzle game, I would say. Decent amount of hype around this game because we don't get a lot of these classic 3D platformers outside of basically Nintendo and sometimes PlayStation, I guess, like putting them out on the AAA stage. So we played it. We're going to let you know our thoughts. It's pretty interesting. It's on Steam, Epic, Nintendo Switch, Xbox, PS5, and it comes in on $19.99. So we'll be talking about that in a bit. But first, let's catch up. How's your weekend? We just had a holiday weekend.
Yeah, we did. It was good, you know. Went to the family party, saw you on Friday for... the 4th of July, which was a good time. And then Saturday, we had like what we just learned about, like a nesting party. Basically, we just invited our parents over and they helped us build stuff for like the nursery and all that. So that's like pretty much done, minus like some decor stuff we want to put up. So that feels good. And then Sunday went to farmer's market, which is good, you know. We just got some produce, yeah, every Sunday. So we're trying to go to that during the summer. And then we also went to hung out with our mutual buddy Bags and his lovely fiance. And we went to Icarus Brewing in New Jersey, down in Brick, New Jersey, folks.
Shout out Brick.
Yeah, where it's their new location. It's like attached to a burger place. Way bigger location for the brewery. It was a good time. Also got to hang out with Willow, their new little pup, who's awesome. And just had some good burgers. I had the burger of the month. It was an Oklahoma burger. It had what did it have on it? It was like a double smash patty with pepper jack cheese, jalapenos, jalapeno
like that thin mayo sliced jalapeno.
Yeah. It was like jalapeno, like mayo on it too, and then like bacon. I wanted the bacon off of it, but put it on there. It's fine. And then I got it on a sesame seed bun. It was good. Had some hand cut fries. Some garlic ranch sauce came with that. It was good. It was a good time. You know, it's a good time. So. It was a busy, I feel like I didn't really get a break, like even though it was the holiday weekend, I was so tired today. So I feel like I could use another day, but, you know, that's the way it is. So I'm going to push on.
Well, soon you'll have so many days coming up that definitely won't be you taking care of a human, a baby one, but that sounds cool. I miss burgers. Honestly, I'm not really eating them. You know, I probably mentioned that every time burgers come up, but I do miss them. My week was good. Went to the same 4th of July party. Shout out to our cousin Tori, who's a pregnant. Happy pregnancy. Very cool. Last Wednesday, I got to go to the Phillies game in a work, like, outing in a suite. So, unlimited drinks and food. It was crazy. Speaking of burgers, there's a Shake Shack in Citizens Bank Park where the Phillies play. And like every time we go to these outings, all of a sudden they just come in with just trays of Shake Shack burgers.
Yeah.
And just like, I mean, I didn't have any, but I was slamming hot dogs. You know, I know they're beef hot dogs, but you know, that's not really beef. But
yeah,
you know, it was a good time. I I really love the Phillies. No, I'm kidding. I really love hanging out with my coworkers, so that was really cool. And then Saturday was pretty low key. You know, went out to dinner with the wife. You know, mowed the lawn, and then yesterday we went to another kind of 4th of July party at a family friend's, and that was cool too. This morning woke up, you know, I was so excited for the week to start. I woke up at 6:30 to go take my car in to pay way too much money to fix it. So that was cool. And then made some tasty dinner tonight, which I'll be talking about in the rec room. And I'm excited to talk about it. But other than that, still cranking with, did I mention last week the Sauvignon Blanc with the jalapeno slices?
You did, yes.
We brought like a whole batch to that party yesterday. It was gone like immediately. It's the drink of the summer, folks. Believe me. Okay. But listen, we got a great, great episode. I'm excited to get into it. We got some indie game news. The biggest indie game news of all time is that we do have a Discord, which is free to join. It's in the show notes below. Unfortunately, we have some not so good news. I think Microsoft had another big layoff of 9,000 people, including people from the gaming division or whatever the heck they call it. And it is affecting a lot of games, including Rare's new game that was supposed to be coming out. I believe that's canceled now. A couple other things. Not good. Not good, man.
Yeah, no, definitely not good. And honestly, I feel like Microsoft has had this, like, over the last few years, it's been like they've started to get like in people's good graces, and then like they just like do another round of layoffs or like cancel games, whatever it is. And it's kind of just been like this roller coaster. I feel like I've heard this story from them multiple times, and obviously it's terrible. You know, you hope that these devs and designers and everybody involved can like get back, you know, on their feet and maybe even start their own studios. Excuse me. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. You see the profit Microsoft makes, right? It's not just Xbox. I think Xbox is just a small, very small piece of their pie. And it just blows my mind that like how many games they end up canceling when like there's people out there that are like begging for them to like, you know, bring us something interesting, like from the single player perspective. And there's been like so many games that have had people really excited, and they just end up getting canceled. And then they just come out with like another, there's another generic kind of game that doesn't really, you know, do that well rating wise. Or even if it does, it just doesn't have like the marketing behind it. Yeah, it just, it sucks to see Microsoft like doing this again. Because I feel like, I don't know, people have been really enjoying Game Pass and everything they're doing with that. You know, Steam's supposed to get integrated with Game Pass. That's the rumor. So I just saw a lot of people excited. And then this news comes out and you're like, this is just, it's hard to root for a company when like they're still, you know, they're doing this stuff so often. So yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. I mean, on the flip side, Helldivers 2 is coming in August to Xbox, I guess. I think the same day as Gears of War.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. My birthday. There you go.
Your birthday. You will have so much time, I'm sure.
So much to
be playing those. So we'll play them all for you. But you know, that is something. But yeah, it is a shame. It's not the end of it. We always talk about that anytime we talk about these layoffs. Not the end. But it's also a great time to dive into some indie games because there's some great ones, and you know, they're small teams, so they can't really lay off too many people. I mean, unless the whole studio closes. So, and that's a travesty in itself. So, sad stuff, but we do have some happy stuff. I think, I don't know, because all I have in the show notes is game show time.
Yeah. So I just wanted to, I don't know, do something a little bit different. And, you know, I know every now and then we kind of do this little fun thing. So I wanted to do like a Family Feud style thing with you where basically, obviously, we didn't survey people. I'm using AI to help like generate some of these. But just wanted to do like a few rounds of some things just to see if you could get them. So Are you up for the game? A little bit of fun?
I am. I guess I think I have to be.
Right? All right, good. All right.
I was like, nope. And I was like, all right, move to
the review. All right, well, let's go to the review. But this is also, just to let you know, there's only three total answers, so it's not like the full 10 okay. or whatever, you know, up to 10 or whatever. So, all right, here we go. Round one. All right.
Got it.
Name an indie game where the main character doesn't speak in their game.
Oh.
Now, think obviously think popular kind of games because there's AI coming from this.
Golly, I'm thinking back on dialogue.
All right, the Stevens family. Do you want to steal?
Wait a second. Dead Cells.
Yes, that's one of them.
Okay. Ding!
Survey says. Oh yeah, I got to do that. But yes, that is one of them.
I'm gonna stay in the Metroidvania.
Okay,
genre,
maybe a smart
say
move.
Hollow Knight.
That is a second one. There you go. And can you round it off with the third one?
Oh man,
that is
tough.
It is in the same realm as the other two.
Is it like Limbo or something?
Nope, not Limbo. I'll give you one more guess. You got anything?
Not speaking in the same realm.
Yeah. It's Hollow Knight, Dead Cells. This game is always kind of put up on that pedestal with them, I would say, pretty often.
It's like a Metroidvania?
It's a platformer. I haven't played it, but
I
want to
say Celeste, but I thought that she
talked. It is Celeste. Yes. It does say... So her internal struggles are shown, but she doesn't actually speak at all during the gameplay.
I
so kind of
forgot
go.
That. I guess I just like interpret it as speaking.
Yeah.
Chime in, folks, if that's incorrect, because we will destroy this AI model that we use. Alan Iverson, of course.
You know, it doesn't have great questions all the time or great reasoning, so it could definitely be wrong. Again,
that's not
I haven't
bad.
Played
you know, I got plus. Two out of the three without any help.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, here we go. Name a primary weapon or tool associated with a famous indie game protagonist.
Ooh.
Only three answers again.
Shovel.
Boom. That's one.
Yeah.
I'm not doing the survey says.
Survey says ding.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Gee, Willikers. Not, I mean, a gun?
that's not one, but it's a good guess, yeah. It's too general. These next two are pretty specific to the game. One of them you actually mentioned before. That's helpful.
Today? Like tonight?
Yeah, well, like 5 minutes ago in the other question.
Oh, I forget what I already said. geez, Louise. What did I say? What did I say?
All right. I'll tell you one of them. It's
okay.
Nail from Hollow Knight.
Oh.
He's a nail.
I guess it is a nail, but I always, I don't really
like
associate
thing.
It with that, yeah. But yeah, that's fair.
And the third one is very popular. They just made a movie about this game.
Oh, a pickaxe.
Yeah. There you go.
Flint and steel.
There.
Gen Z kids comment.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
We're going to do one more round. All right. We got one more round here. You're doing well. You could win it all. We're gonna do Fast Money next. No, is Fast Money Family Feud or is that?
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know.
The one where
okay.
like you do the word association.
Yeah, real quick. Okay. Okay, here we go. Name a primary character. A lot of these are just main character things. from one of these games. Wait, hold on. This doesn't make any sense. Name a main character from an indie game known for using a ranged weapon. And this is also just based on this question alone is just on games we reviewed.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, man. A ranged weapon?
You know, this. Some of these I don't think. Okay, yeah.
Okay, whatever the main character from Wizard with a Gun was?
Yes, that's one of them, yeah. All right,
all right.
Wizard.
Wizard. Oh, man. What the hell?
I know. I'll give you a...
I should start doing real Family Feud, like, quotes. Naked grandma!
What? Huh? Yeah.
Sit on it! Oh, man. All right, you gotta give me a hit, because...
One of them is the cub.
The cub, oh my god.
Apparently it's a slingshot, from what I remember. All right, and this last one, the weapon is primarily a close-range weapon, but you can use it from a distance, so I guess it counts in this category. And the character is in the title of the game, and the weapon she uses is in the title of the game, too.
Pepper grinder?
Pepper grinder, that's it!
Oh,
it's
really?
Because it says you could throw the drill, I don't know.
I don't know.
This one was a tough one. The AI didn't do a great job.
Listen, I think we're keeping our jobs.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, for now, until they get the Steve Harvey bot and then we're done.
Yeah. Alright, well that was fun. I think, you know, that was a... A couple of them were doozies, I would say. You know, I appreciate it, though.
Yeah, keep it, you know, on your toes a little bit. Yeah.
Toes. Feet. My feet on the bottom of them feel pretty rough. Ruffy in the Riverside is the game that we're reviewing this week. And I'm a really good segue artist. I don't know if they're artists, technically. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway... We got Ruffy in the Riverside, developed by Zocrates or Zocrates Laboratories UG, and published by Fippen Games. Oh man, that's tough. As I said, it's on pretty much all platforms except for PlayStation. No, it's on PlayStation. 1999. Ruffy in the Riverside. You wield the magic swap to copy and paste textures, turn ice to lava or waterfalls into vines, explore, fight, skate on straw bales, and unleash your imagination in this quirky open-world action game. Dive into an adventure that lets you literally change the world. Do you want to talk about the gameplay first this time?
Yeah, sure. I'll talk about the gameplay here. Let me just load it up as well so the viewers can watch. So this is, as Tommy mentioned, it's kind of, you know, very reminiscent of like old school kind of 3D platformer kind of games. Think Banjo-Kazooie, Spyro, even old school kind of Spyro. So it's very reminiscent of that, especially once we talk about the art style. And you play as a character, Ruffy, obviously, and I don't think I got as far into the game probably as you, so you probably have more to talk like story-wise. Mm-hmm. But yeah, essentially your main mechanic in this game is this like swap power where originally as it's training you, it teaches you to essentially take a painting from a canvas and you're putting it on another painting. And then you start to get a little bit more involved with it, where it's actually like built into like the game mechanics. So you can even see, I believe, in this clip here, this is right in the beginning of the game, you can turn a waterfall into like a wall of vines that allow you to climb up. So it's kind of using this mechanic to not only discover things, but to get to different parts of the map, to traverse things, to go across water, things like that. So that is the main mechanic of the game. So you're going to be solving, puzzles in the game. One thing I will say is that this gameplay, whether they intended for this or not, which I imagine they did, it really does nail the kind of like awkwardness or just the kind of how some things feel unpolished of those older games, right? How many times, like, you know, even playing like an older game like Ocarina of Time, like, I remember as a kid, I was just like, I have no idea where to go. Like, it reminded me of when like game designers like didn't fully think about, you know, how am I going to introduce the character to the next area, right? It kind of was like up to you sometimes. I mean, you know, for a good portion of it, you were able to figure out, but there were definitely times in like those older kind of games where I was like, I don't even recognize this as something I can interact with. This game does that stuff too, from what I've, well, you know, at least from what I played, where, even with this swap ability, you start to kind of realize, oh, I can swap like that material with that material. There's like things you start discovering as you're playing, where you are, you kind of didn't realize that it was like a mechanic or interactable in the game. So I think it nails that. I don't know if that's like a design decision or just something that, you know, that I imagine it's a design decision just because this game is clearly inspired by those older kind of 3D games. But it's very interesting. And then there's also a 2D part of the game, which I didn't get to, but I know it exists in the game because I've seen it in the gameplay, where like there's even things you can find in the world where you become kind of this 2D character and you're able to, complete puzzles that way as well. So it also kind of has like those little modern twists as well. But it even does have like a very primitive kind of quest system and like the way things work. Like, I feel like a lot of the game wasn't modernized from the gameplay standpoint. It really is truly like a successor to those older games without being like overly modern. Like, they could have made the quest system maybe a little bit more interesting. There's things in the gameplay where you're like, okay, if I played another 3D platformer, it would have these kind of quality of life things. But in this game, it just doesn't have some of those things. Your goal, from what I could tell in the game, is to find these marbles, which are, they're kind of these like mystical sort of like rock sort of things that can actually change your environment around you temporarily. To allow you to solve more puzzles and unlock more things. So it's really just, it reminded me just so much of like Banjo-Kazooie, those older kind of like 3D platformer games where you're, you know, just going on an adventure, exploring different things, talking with weird people. It's definitely got the weirdness vibe down pretty well. But I know you probably played more of this game. So what did you think overall about the gameplay?
So hopping in, I immediately was kind of transported back to N64 days, you know, Mario 64, Banjo-Kazooie, Paper Mario, obviously with some aspects here as well. And the first thing that I noticed was it was pretty ambitious, right? I think there's a lot in here, and certainly like a love letter to those games, with some interesting choices on like modern elements. Like, I think that it's a little weird. So, you know, the mechanics, obviously you talked about the copy and paste, which is a really cool but ambitious kind of mechanic, because like in, let's say, a bigger studio or a more like, you know, finished game, I would say probably would have explored it more and like would have let you kind of copy and paste a lot more things, because, you know, it felt a little bit limited on what you could do and kind of really tied to the main quest of the game rather than like some, there's some like auxiliary stuff, but it didn't feel as sandboxy as I think it probably would have been if maybe that was the goal. I'm not sure, but it felt like sometimes I just had to figure out, all right, is this for a quest and should I have to use this mechanic rather than like I should be using it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of how I felt about that. It's a neat mechanic when it works. But certainly there's some other interesting gameplay choices here where there's a stamina bar like you would get in some other games, you know, recently, I think is more, you know, makes more sense. And I don't know if it necessarily made a lot of sense in this game, because why wouldn't I be able to really just run as much as I want? Or like, why wouldn't it just like stop? Like, why would I need the stamina bar? Because if you get mm-hmm. coins, it kind of refills anyway. So what are we kind of doing here? There's a lot of coins. So I felt like kind of just an addition to it. But other than that, I will say, and this kind of will tie into the story, but like it does affect the gameplay a little bit. The first like chunk of the game is very dialogue heavy, and I'll talk about whether that dialogue is good or not, but like it is a little bit of a slog to get through the first part of the game before you start actually going into the different worlds and like kind of exploring the meat and potatoes of this. But mostly it is a pretty straightforward 3D platformer, which it was more puzzles I felt like than actual platforming for the most part, because it was pretty easy to traverse most of the world, I thought. And, you know, it was fine. It was a pretty actualized world, and we'll talk about that. But I felt like I was playing more of a puzzle game with this kind of 3D platformer skin on it. And I don't think that's a bad thing, but it felt like I was going from puzzle to puzzle rather than kind of like trying to like get past a certain obstacle, I guess. But the rest of the game, I do really appreciate the ambition here in terms of what's going on. I think that a lot of people will enjoy this, especially those who really enjoyed the classic 90s like 3D platformers, which you definitely nailed it on the head when you said like it lacks some of that polish. And I don't know if that's intentional, but like it definitely felt janky, and like not in the worst way, but you know, we'll talk about that in the performance side. I think that there's probably some jank that doesn't need to mm-hmm. be janky. But overall it is going to be a pretty cute and fun gameplay experience. But for those out there looking for a true like 3D platformer, I didn't feel like I was playing Banjo or like I was playing Mario 64 or anything like that. I felt like I was playing Ruffy in the Riverside, and that's totally fine. But I think it's just worth noting that it's going to be more puzzle focused rather than platformer focused. But that was my take on it.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree from like, you know, the amount I played. And I think also, you know, you bring up like a good point about them not taking full advantage of that swap mechanic, because I feel like that, you know, it adds to like the aha kind of moments that you get in like Nintendo games, or even like, you know, Banjo-Kazooie, where you're just like, yeah, it just, you're like, you know, let me try this. And you're like, oh my God, that worked. It did feel like in this game, because there's only like a limited number of things you can swap with like per puzzle, that, I don't know, it even just from an art standpoint, you know, when we talk about art, but like certain things would also be wood and you couldn't actually copy them, but you could copy other things that were near you that were wood. Like things like that, with just like these inconsistencies that, I never really felt like super satisfied for like figuring out a puzzle. I was just kind of like, okay, you know, this is, I was going to get this eventually because there's just such limited.